33 minutes after 8 o'clock. It is coming up today at 10:17, the Great California Shakeout. And our local earthquake expert is on the phone with me right now, Lori Dangler. How are you doing, Lori?
I'm just fine. And how are you doing?
I'm doing just dandy. So this is the Great California Shakeout is today, and it's all about earthquake preparedness, right?
You got it.
How long has this shakeout been going on? How many years has this event been happening?
Well, the first year of the shakeout was 2008, but it was just in Southern California.
Okay.
And what was cool about that first shakeout is that it started as a big U.S. Geological Survey project to do the most detailed model that they could of what a big San Andreas Fault earthquake in Southern California would do. Mm-hmm. So it was science-y, you know, and the engineers and the geologists and the seismologists. But Lucy Jones, who anyone who's been in Southern California or much of California has certainly heard of, she said, let's involve the public as well. So let's not only do the science, let's have a big drop, cover, and hold on drill that kind of goes together with all of our science stuff. And so it was crazy, and a lot of people thought she was crazy. But there was really good participation, especially among schools. And so the next year, 2009, it went statewide. So that was the first year the North Coast was involved.
Okay.
And every year now, on the third week, on the Thursday of the third week of October, at whatever that date is, converts to time.
Ah.
So today is October 17th, and so the shakeout is at 10:17.
Ah, year, I understand that
October
now.
October 18th, and so the time was 10:18. Mm. You know, kind of cute. It's also was really built around, this is a good time for schools. You don't want it in the afternoon. You don't want it on a weekend. Morning is a really good time for K through 12 schools to participate. And so that's how it started. And the idea, basic idea is very simple, is that at that time you pretend there is an earthquake. And you do what you really should do when there's a real earthquake, which is to first drop. And I'm going to make a little caveat. If you are mobile and able to, we don't want anyone dropping down who's going to hurt themselves. So you drop down to the ground. And that's the most important thing. Why? Because when you're on the ground, you can't run. And your instinct, every fiber of your body is going to want you to bolt. Unfortunately, this is one area where instinct could injure or kill you. Because the worst thing to do while the ground is shaking is to move. I have a really good friend who did his PhD studying what happened in two big California earthquakes, Loma Prieta, that was 30 years ago today, that
to
we
this
can
day.
Talk more about in a bit, and also the 1994 Northridge earthquake. And he had a huge data set because there were more than 3,700 people injured in Loma Prieta, and there were even more injured in the Northridge earthquake. And what he found was that the further people moved while the ground was shaking, the more likely they were to be injured. So if you basically didn't do anything, but just they say, I just froze on the spot, I say, fine. What you did was really okay, because moving even into a doorway, which is what I was taught as a child.
Right.
If you have to go 10, 12 feet to get in that doorway, you've already exposed yourself to harm. Plus, the door might swing back and forth and whop you, and if you're in a public place, other people may be running out the door or squeezing into the door. So doorways came about back in the 1800s when a lot of our public buildings were brick, and brick is really poor in earthquakes, and doors are usually wood frames. So, yeah, if you happen to live in a brick building and there's a wooden door frame, you have my permission to get in the door frame. But in the kinds of houses we live in, the door is no stronger than any other part
really
of the building.
The best place is to, if you can, like get under a table or desk and hold on, right?
Well, as I say, the first thing is to first get down.
Right.
And once you're down, you want to protect your head and neck with your arm. So that's the cover part. So we have drop cover. If there is a table or desk within about 5 feet of you where you can just slide yourself underneath it, that's great. Slide underneath, hang on, hold on to the leg, and ride out the earthquake there. But if there's nothing nearby, just staying in that one spot is the safest thing to do. So that's what we do today at 1017. Regardless of where you are, you want to drop down to the ground. And if you're inside, cover that head and neck and get under a table or desk if it's nearby. If you are having a really slow, lazy morning and are still in bed, staying in bed is okay. Put a pillow over your head, that's fine. You might want to remove that great big mirror that is over your bed or the potted plant that's on top of the bookcase next to your bed. I mean, removing those sorts of hazards. But again, just staying put. My first Humboldt County earthquake was back in 1980, and I lived in West Haven, and it was 3-ish in the morning, and my house just screamed. It felt like somebody was grabbing the side of it and just shaking it for all it was worth. And I just stayed in bed.
Mm-hmm.
It was dark. It was definitely the best. I mean, I hadn't really thought it out, but that was the best thing to do. So really, the drop cover hold on drill is the first piece of shakeout day or shakeout week. I like to think of it as shakeout year because mm-hmm. obviously the next earthquake can happen at any time. We really encourage people now to tie it together with awareness of tsunami hazards
mm-hmm.
because we know that one of these days we're going to have a really big earthquake. And by a really big earthquake, this is an earthquake that probably will shake more than a minute, may shake even more than 2 minutes. The long, long shaking is the clue. And unless you were in Japan in 2011 or Alaska in 64, you don't have a clue of what a really long earthquake is like. I mean, it's an earthquake that just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, I knew someone who was actually in Alaska in 64, and they said that it lasted so long they thought it would never end.
That's right. We have a recording of it on our website, and I'll send you that link that you can put on the KHUM website for people to listen to what it was like in 64. That,
of course, generated a tsunami that affected our friends up in Crescent City significantly.
It did. But the tsunami first hit Alaska. And the important thing with that long shaking is that that is your warning. You're not going to hear a siren. You're not going to get a phone call. You're not going to get somebody knocking on your door. Why? Because the earthquake has knocked out our infrastructure. And a little over a week ago, everybody learned what happens when you just lose electricity,
Let
alone everything else in your infrastructure. So the earthquake's going to knock out the infrastructure, but you get a warning. You have a minute or more of ground shaking that goes on and on and on. That is, if you live in a tsunami zone, and you can go to the Redwood Coast Tsunami Work Group website, which is just rctwg.humboldt.edu, And we've got the tsunami maps, and we've got an app, an interactive app for Humboldt County. You can find out where the tsunami zone is. You can also just look at the signs on all of our roads.
Yeah, the county has done a terrific job putting those signs all over the place.
We've been working hard at that. So once the shaking has abated enough that you can safely move, you want to grab your children, grab your grab-and-go kit, and immediately start walking to higher ground. Don't get in your car because the earthquake has probably disrupted the roads.
Good point.
And shakeout is a really good time for everybody to sort of learn their evacuation route. Redwood Coast Montessori over on the Samoa Peninsula does a great job of not only practicing the shakeout drill, but every month they do an evacuation of the whole school to the highest dunes, which all of our evidence supports. And I'm 98% sure those highest dunes are going to be safe. Our places of haven in the case of a large tsunami.
Very important, because there's a lot of Humboldt County that's very low-lying. So it's good to know.
There certainly are areas, but a lot of people are kind of surprised when they look at the maps and realize that actually very few of us live in a tsunami hazard zone.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of us visit tsunami hazard zones. My favorite
right.
places to take walks are on the beach, and I always have a little mental note as I'm walking on the beach. Okay, that's my evacuation route. That's my evacuation route. Because every foot of elevation I get up or move inland makes me that much safer.
One other thing to make note of, if you are by the beach and see the water receding, that's a big danger sign right there.
That's right.
That's
right, and it's not just a tsunami that might be coming. It could be a sneaker wave, and we have sneaker waves dozens of times during the year. Sadly, it is the most common source of death from natural disasters on the North Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, we lose people every year because they aren't really paying attention. Often the victims are people from out of the area who are completely unaware of the sneaker wave threat. But it's the same sort of thing. Whenever the water pulls out farther than normal, it certainly could come back in much bigger.
Yeah, it's a danger sign.
But when you feel the earthquake on the beach, don't wait for the water to go down.
No,
because
get
the
high
first
ground.
Surge is not necessarily a drawdown.
Yep.
It could be first coming in big. So key on to the shaking. Good reminder for shakeout. It's both what to do as the ground is shaking to protect yourself from injury, but also it's your alarm for heading inland or to higher ground if you live in a tsunami zone.
And one thing I want to just reiterate that you talked about right at the very beginning of our talk is resist the urge to run. That is the natural urge is run, get out. And I've known so many people who have been injured, not because something fell on them, but because they tripped over something, they ran into something.
Yep.
You know, it's just the surefire way to get injured in an earthquake. I mean, it's just go ahead.
Right. And this is something that small businesses really should take to heart, because you don't really want blood in your store.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't really want somebody to be injured or harmed in your store. That you've got enough problems in trying to keep a small business going.
Sure.
Back in 2010, our last really strong earthquake, January 9th, 2010, on the North Coast, there were 8 ambulance calls to the Bayshore Mall. And every single one of those were because people were running while the ground was shaking. They were all what I considered unnecessary. None of those people would have been injured had they just stopped in one spot. And unfortunately, some of the security personnel made it worse by yelling run and running themselves.
Wow.
So here's where, if you're a business owner, you should really train your staff. You should definitely participate in the shakeout and avoid that lawsuit that you definitely don't want if somebody happened to be injured because one of your employees ran out the door and yelled run at the same time. You know, that this is something everybody needs to absolutely ingrain in their soul. Ground shakes, freeze, drop down. Kids are much better at doing that than adults. So take the cue from your kids because they've been practicing these drills every year in school for a long time. Here's one place where the kids probably have it right.
Yep. You know, it's kind of interesting. You mentioned that that last big quake, you know, the 2010. So I was in the I was in our house, and we that quake hit. Amy was up on a ladder at the time. She was taking stuff off of the Christmas tree. And I was like, whoa. So, you know, she got down off the ladder. Smart thing to do. You don't want to stay up on a ladder.
Yeah.
But then she decided to run over to where I was. But the ground was shaking so much. She didn't trip over anything. She tripped over the ground because it was moving so much.
Yeah.
She just, bam, she just fell right over, you know, and because she was trying to get to where I was. So, I mean, that was, it's an interesting thing. You don't necessarily trip over anything. If it's really shaking, the ground is moving so much that it's, that you can trip over flat ground.
And, you know, it's not, there are two other things that are related to this. One, it doesn't have to be something that falls on you.
Mm-hmm.
Just tripping, like Amy did, you know, people get broken hips doing that.
Break a wrist, break a hip.
You really don't want to break a back, break a hip, because all you did was basically trip because the ground was moving. And the other thing is that running in the earthquake exacerbates the adrenaline rush, exacerbates the fear, and that kills people. Every strong earthquake, there's typically a couple of people who die because of heart attacks. So if you can just get yourself to drop down, and I strongly suggest getting into the habit of counting, just counting while the shaking is going on, because that counting will calm you, help you to remember to breathe, and will slow that adrenaline rush, and help you get through the earthquake.
And, of course, if you end up counting and it's going really long, then that means you need to get to high ground if you
counting
are.
Counting is also a clue of how big the earthquake is.
Right.
Back in the 92 earthquake, I actually did get into the habit of counting. I was upstairs in our bedroom getting ready to go on a hike that unfortunately never happened because once I counted more than 40, I realized, oh, I'm probably not going on a hike.
No,
and
that was a big one.
That
it was actually three big ones.
I got up to 72. Now, it wasn't strong shaking the whole time, but 72. And then I said, oh, I think this is going to be an upper 6 magnitude earthquake. So, because I can actually sort of estimate based on how long the shaking was. And then the two that were in the night, they lasted about 60 seconds. So I knew, again, they weren't as big, but they were still
big.
Pretty big. So you can become a seismologist if you count out the shaking.
There you go. And as you said, it gives you something to do, which is good. All right, so the shakeout is happening today at 10:17, because that's today's date, 10:17.
Right.
So K-Hum, of course, is an active participant. We will be playing the official announcement at 10:17, and we urge everyone listening to participate. It's kind of like those of you old enough to remember the old, duck and cover, and from when we were trying to, prevent being harmed during a nuclear blast, which was kind of ridiculous. This one actually is not ridiculous. This one is good common sense.
This is common sense. Good science behind it.
Right.
And we believe in science, right?
Science is a good thing. science is our friend. Absolutely.
Science is our friend.
Yes. Thank you, Lori, so much for taking the time to talk with us today. Really appreciate it. And again, we hope everyone participates in today's great California shakeout, 10:17 today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank you, K-Hum.
You got it. Happy to do it.